This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the School of Influence podcast, where the queen and king of influencer marketing, authors and professors Amanda Russell and Neil Schaefer, cut through the noise and dissect what makes brands and professionals influential. No fluff, just the real deal.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the School of Influence podcast. Recently, we've gotten to a good cadence where I have a guest come in. The next week, Amanda has a guest come in, and I have a guest to come in. And this week, it is Amanda's guest. So, Amanda, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you for the introduction.
Today's guest is, this is the true power of influencer marketing done in real time with real people. And this guest, we actually have never met. And I was put in touch with her when I was at one of my favorite places in Aspen, Colorado. And I happened to sit next to a couple of ladies that we got chatting, and they asked what I did. And for whatever reason, they were like, you need to meet our friend Dara, and you absolutely need to meet her. And we live in Atlanta, and please connect with her. And I looked at her work, and she does, first of all, her motto is something that I knew that I wanted to connect with her when I heard this, which is, and everybody listening to this, is design your life, build a business to fund it, and network to support it. And which is really the ultimate freedom. So it's taken us a while to connect. Dara, I am so excited to have you here. Welcome. Thank you so much for being on our podcast today.
Thank you for having me. And you're right. That is the embodiment of influencer marketing, or just networks going out to speak one's name in places they have no idea. Like, I've never even been to Aspen. here we are.
But yet you are known there. So no, and that it really is. But I checked out like a lot of what you do. Can you tell us a little bit about your story and how you got to doing what you are, like how you got to basically design your career around your life, which and teaching other people to do it?
Yeah, I will give you the Cliff Notes version, since I know this is not a 2 hour long podcast. I'd say the quick story is I was the younger person who had no idea what I wanted to do. I felt really envious of the people who had the path and the trajectory laid out, that they knew, okay, steps 1, 2, 3, and then I will be doctor, lawyer, consultant, you know, fill in the blank. And I wasn't that person. I tended to be kind of good at a lot of things, but not excellent at any in particular, and didn't know what to make of that. And so when I graduated from college, I was a double major in religion and Italian, which already felt like, huh, like, what do you do with that? And I just kept hearing the advice over and over, just do something that you really enjoy. You'll figure it out. Chase your passions. And that is advice that I have differing opinions around, but I took it at the time. And that took me into the fashion industry. And long story short, it was not what I expected. I found in that probably my greatest lesson was, don't always make your hobbies your career. And that company went under after much tumult about 3 months after I had bought a house at 23, because I had a restraining order against my landlord. And all of a sudden, life kind of slapped me in the face. And I realized, wow, so working for other people isn't always as stable as we are meant to believe. And even if you are hitting your goals, which I had hit a 3-year goal in 10 months as far as sales, it doesn't always mean you're going to have this linear trajectory. So from there, I spent a couple years soul searching, trying on different things. And this that then put me out in the time frame of 2007, 2009. So as the economic situation was collapsing, first nationally and then globally, and I thought, wow, okay, lots of rugs being pulled out from under me, fearing foreclosure, losing 3 jobs to layoffs because of the economic conditions. And suddenly I just paused and I thought, okay, let me just put other people's advice to rest and really touch base with myself. And what is it that I really think is best for me? And all along, when I thought back to what did I gravitate towards as a child? What were the things that I always said I wanted to do, but maybe didn't have the full language around? It was having a business. I was starting little businesses out of my parents' back porch. I was, you know, selling things to the neighbors. I was always creating and finding solutions to problems and trying to make outcomes better for people. And so I thought, you know, even though everyone tells me this isn't necessarily the safest way to go about this, or that I am a quote millennial and I should wait my turn and climb the corporate ladder and learn from other people first before going out on my own, circumstances just put me in a position where I felt like it was no more or less stable to try for myself and throw my hat in the ring. And so in 2009, at the most obvious time, and I'm being tremendously sarcastic, to start a financial services company, my twin brother, who is in Austin, where I know you are today, Amanda, he and I started a credit card processing company together. And that was the last thing on earth I ever thought that I would start. But for a number of reasons, the stars aligned and it made sense. And one of the things that I recognized was that I could take so many of the things that mattered to me, like helping people, and translate it into this space that I knew nothing about until I began to research and learn. And now it's been 12 plus years later. We've had so many ups and downs. We had two embezzlements. We had many situations where we thought we were going to shut the doors. We had our parents telling us we should quit and go get a day job. Yet now we're in 38 states. We run that company passively, and we each went and started our own separate businesses. And so during the time of growing that business, I continued to see other problems that I felt I was able to kind of put my thumb on and participate in helping in some way. And so the first one was a networking events company. Obviously, you and I have a love for that in common, Amanda. And Neil, I look forward to hearing the same to see if we have that in common as well. And it simply became because a friend from undergrad came to me and said, I graduated from law school. I have no idea where to go to make friends after college. Everywhere I go, people are all in my business. They're all trying to hit on each other. They're all trying to sell something to each other, or they're all my parents' age. And I laughed and I was like, honestly, that's every experience I have when I go to quote networking events. And I thought, I'm sure we can make it more palatable and more enjoyable with even better outcomes. And so after I started that, and after 10 years of growth, growing it to 30,000 people, I sold it about 4 months ago. And it was just an incredible journey of paying attention to the signals, seeing where you can insert yourself in a positive way and letting it grow into something. And then lastly, I'll speed up this story. As the markets were collapsing, I thought, how is it that I can help? And so I decided to take my love of writing with my knowledge of financial literacy and write a children's book on the topic. And then where we are today really came about as I went through these years of doing, again, following the advisement of other entrepreneurs of hustle, grind, burnout, wait till one day when you can have the pot of gold at the end. And I thought, gosh, I am running in the opposite direction of everything I say I value, like community and connection and learning and travel and all of these things, in for the sake of burning out and long hours and hitting other people's metrics for success. And so when I, again, paused and looked at the entire situation, I thought, what is it that I really want? How do I want to design my life? And how do I reverse engineer everything else to work in favor of that? Which is what I began to do. And then ultimately, the cards began to unfold to a place of moving my work into how I could help other people do the same for themselves through coaching work in group and one-on-one formats.
What an incredible story. And I love your candid transparency about the ups and downs. So many people don't talk about their own failures in such a candid way, because you know that every company that's been a success usually has a lot of failures that we like to sweep under the rug to make ourselves not seem like we've ever, like we got fired or we didn't cut it somewhere or whatever it was. I'm curious, like the industries that you went in, and this is a very, it's interesting to see the common threads between highly successful people that have achieved lifestyles. When I say successful, I mean that have achieved, yes, financial success, but in a way that their lifestyle works in this like way that everybody that's now doing business school wants to achieve that kind of lifestyle. But they're kind of all like your experiences have been from financial services to events to children's book, and have managed to become successful in various different areas without, you know, you saying you're a you know, our Wall Street expert or, you know, category expert. What do you attribute to that success? What is the outside outlier that you think it's is it less about the subject matter and more about the model? How would you describe it for people listening that are like, I would love to start a yacht company, but I don't know anything about yachts?
So I think it's a great question. And I want to put my answer with sort of a caveat of, if it's something that is super subject matter expert necessary, meaning like if you're going into engineering or into accounting or into law, it's really important that you have a depth of knowledge around that subject and that to differing degrees, you're not learning on the job, so to speak. But in my case, I think because I didn't have to have that level of intricacy of knowledge, or it wasn't so specific in those ways, really the through line for me is connection. That when I look at each of these things, what really made them work, it was sort of this hybrid of connecting people to people and people to resources to better the outcomes for everyone involved. So whether that was connecting the right credit card processor with our processing brokerage to the right company and finding them the best solution, to literally connecting people in a networking event, or connecting parents and caregivers to the resources they need for their kids around financial literacy, and so on and so on. For me, that's the through line, because that is sort of my superpower, is connection. So when I can transplant that in different places that I get excited about learning, that's sort of the secret sauce for me. And so the other piece of that is the curiosity. I joke that I'm sort of a chief curiosity officer, that I will go into any situation and just dig and want to learn and want to learn. And if you're willing to have that sort of a lens, I think that you can find yourself in a bunch of arenas. And even if you were to want to go into one of those spaces, like I mentioned, such as engineering or otherwise, and that's not your specific subject matter expertise, then you buoy yourself up with people who it is. So I think any of that is possible and plausible. And for people who might resonate with this, I am definitely a multi-dimensional person. Like, I have interest in a lot of different spaces, and it kept it interesting for me, as opposed to wanting to do one thing deeply forever. And you just have to know which is your lane, and neither is better or worse.
Your story is amazing. And I love this thread of connection. A lot of the business leaders that we interview, especially when we talk about, you know, how they build influence, that connection is one of these key themes that we see over and over and over again. I'm going to switch gears a little bit, because this podcast influences our listeners in many ways. Some are directly related to business, while others are more directly related to life, which will impact their business. And I believe our interview with you is similar to that. How does one find their superpower?
So I actually have a tool that might be helpful for this. So people can reach out to me on Instagram, or you can just head over to my website. It's just dara.co. And if you go to /freebies, this is on there. It's called the 9 questions to ask your network to help you find your path. And I think one of the most powerful tools we have is the people in our lives to be mirrors for us. Because typically the thing that is our superpower, we take for granted. It's so natural for us. And often it's not celebrated, meaning I wasn't a star athlete. I wasn't a star musician. I wasn't a star fill in the blank. So it wasn't clear and obvious, but I was always the convener. I was always the connector. I was always the one who saw the world as a puzzle and could put the pieces together in a way that other people never would have even thought to do. It sounds like you both have this in common as well, but I didn't take that as worthy. I felt like everyone can do that. Like, that's not special or unique. And it wasn't until I really went to the people in my circle and I proactively asked them the types of questions that this template has to offer. Like, when do you see me at my most powerful? What's something you know about me that you don't think I know about myself? What would you come to me for when the chips are down? And a number of others that really give you an opportunity to say, how do people really see me? And where are the patterns? And then it becomes hard to ignore when you're like, wow, people from my professional environment, from my childhood, from my family, from, you know, all over the place have said these 3 things about me. I need to pay attention to this. I think that's a really important starting place.
That is so helpful. And you know, this podcast is about influencer marketing, but a big portion of that is that we are all brands now as well. We always are, whether you're online or offline, that has nothing. Social media is a channel, but whether or not you even are on any of these channels, we all want our messages heard. We all want our emails answered. We all want to be respected. And so I think that that's such a helpful tip for anybody listening, anybody out there, that it's something that I want to go back and do myself, because I think you're right. It's almost like when you're in your business tactically so much in the day-to-day, you don't ever step back and see the bigger picture of what really is going on here. And I think we're our worst enemy on that. So we actually have another course coming out called Becoming an Influencer. And I think I'm going to have to pin you separately and integrate this, your methodology and your questionnaire maybe into the program. I think this is great.
Yeah, because I think what you're saying is so true. I always say you can't see the spot on which you stand, meaning like you can't really see your own shadow. And so you need those people in your life. And oftentimes we want to be comfortable, not just oftentimes, biologically, we want to be comfortable. So we surround ourselves with people who are just going to keep telling us what we want to hear, or we surround ourselves with people who have the same perspective, opinions, and otherwise. But the most power can come, whether it's in this side of just getting to know yourself more deeply, and especially also in your business world, who don't think the same way. It's actually one of the things that I love in coaching work. And I'm sure you can relate to this, Amanda, that when you don't think identically to the person that is sitting alongside you, so much can come out when you say, like, here's how I see it. And they say, here's how I see it. And you say, how do we bring that together? And that's when innovation happens. That's when new ideas emerge, or when you no longer see something as quote obvious, but you see like, here's the spin on it that I've been missing all along.
Yeah. And I love that. I think as you're saying that, I'm thinking one of the reasons that I love the term influencer marketing, I love influencer marketing in the way that sort of Neil and I talk about it, which is a little bit different than social media advertising, is the idea of going through my 20s and, you know, I came to the US, I had no safety net. I knew nobody. I wasn't like I could even call a relative or a parent for help with anything, no credit history, nothing. And you learn the value of people and a network when you don't have one. And I was so driven by the idea that you needed to connect with people and brands and whatever, because that was the way forward. That was the way you were going to scale personally, professionally, everything. And I was so, more so than the ones that could help, the people that could have opened doors and didn't, that it became such like a point of like PTSD almost, where I was like, I never want to be that person. And to me, influencer marketing is the ability to align with forces of influence, whether that is a brand, a person, a nonprofit, whatever it is that makes in the eyes of other people, you seem credible, or you gain the trust, or whatever. It's like a leapfrog effect, which is what you're talking about. So to me, like, it's funny because some people don't even see the correlation, might not see the correlation with, well, how is that influencer marketing? And to me, that's real. That's the most powerful influencer marketing, is aligning with the forces of influence.
Yeah, you're using the real true definition of influence. Like, if anyone listening hasn't read the book Influence, that's where that is coming right from. It's to your exact point, using the influence that you have gained in your life through your great work and through the help of other people who have opened doors for you to pay it forward. I use the term give it forward to other people by bringing their name up in spaces, by opening the door to them, by making that three-way introduction that's valuable. And not to the point of, Adam Grant and I had this conversation once about his concept of give and take, that givers often think, oh, if I'm going to open the door, I need to do it for everyone. Or I, you know, that there's this martyrdom to it. And that's not, I think, what you were saying. It's definitely not what I am saying, that we still get to choose if, when, and for whom we are using our influence, but that to have it is a privilege. And then you can help pay it forward to give other people that little bit of momentum that they need, and that you experienced so much when you came to the US and didn't have it. And I think it's such a beautiful thing, and that the compounding effect of that is tremendous. Right. And I'm sure that there's so many people in your life who have no idea the impact that it made on you to do this thing that to them was so effortless. And that's why I hope that people take that away from here, that you could spend 2 minutes of your day to do something that helps someone else, and that could have such a ripple effect on them forever and ever.
100%.
Yeah. While you and Amanda were focusing on the networking, the external, I was just thinking about the internal, that when you truly know, when you truly connect the dots of who you are and you tap into that superpower that you have, when I look at the influencers that I admire online, they know it. They know what their superpower is. They're tapping into it. They're passionate, and they're able to do things just at a completely different level than other people who try to be. I mean, I don't want to talk about the word authenticity, because it gets misused and what have you, but it does seem extremely authentic when you know what it is. You know, I think of even someone like Marie Kondo, who it's very clear what a superpower is, and everything she does, it just radiates, right? And it builds such influence. So I also wanted to make sure that the listener really think about that as well. I know that, you know, Amanda, like you, I'm also going to download that freebie and ask my network those questions. So I think from the external and the internal, I think this has been a really powerful interview.
Yeah. And so if people want to work with you, I don't even know if you take on clients, one-on-ones or whatever, follow your work. And I mean, for those listening, Dara has like some incredible, like I said, I don't ever usually quote people, but that drew me in when I saw her. And when you meet a zillion people every day, like I tend to love that and thrive on that. But then I'm like a fly in terms of I go to their site or whatever. And I very quickly like just jump right off and think that's, I think I'm good. I don't think that's my thing. I was really, really engaged, so much so to reach out on my own and try. I stalked in Dara to try to get in touch with her for this interview and to connect because I thought she was that engaging to me. So where can people find you? Where would they drive to work with you, follow you?
First, I'm really flattered by that. Thank you. Best two places, the website, dara.co, tons of free resources, lots of interviews with well-known people sharing their wisdom. And I'm extrapolating out under those three pillars that will help you dissect exactly what you need really quickly. And then Instagram, just at DaraB, DarraHB.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time and energy. And I'll look forward to connecting offline as well.
Same. Thank you both so much.
Thanks for listening to the School of Influence podcast. Amanda and Neil would be honored if you spend a minute to write a review wherever you are listening to this podcast to help expose these interviews to a broader audience. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. Even better, build your influence and ours by sharing this podcast on your favorite social media with hashtag School of Influence. We would love to hear from and engage with you.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.